Welcome to another episode of Meet Me at the Library, the podcast that talks about programs and resources at Charlotte Mecklenburg Library, many of which you can access from home. We're focusing on programs and resources related to science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, also known as STEAM. In this episode of Meet Me at the Library, we're going to talk about the A in STEAM, the arts, and we're going to focus on library programming and resources related to feature films that are available at the library. With us today, we have Emily Nanny. She's the education leader for Charlotte Mecklenburg Library. We have Sam Shapiro, Holly Summers, and Angel Truesdale. Holly is the teen services coordinator for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Library System. Sam is a manager here at Main Library. And Angel is a library services specialist in the adult area here at Main Library. Angel, will you please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Okay, so I am born and raised in Charlotte. We are few and far between now, it seems like. And I started working for the library system about 8 years ago. I am a film enthusiast, international law. I'm big into technology as well. And a fun fact about myself is that Sam Shapiro was actually my professor at UNC Charlotte in film studies, and I definitely owe most of my interest in public libraries to him.
Cool.
You were my student twice, I believe.
I did
you take
me,
you
twice.
You took me a second time.
I did. I took you for two different classes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is a great segue.
She was a C student.
She was a C student.
How dare you?
No, A student. Excellent student.
Okay, good. Good.
Has the grade book.
I do. I have the grade book.
Good. Good. I was getting a little nervous there. But this is a great segue into Sam. Will you tell us about yourself?
I've been working here for a few years, and I have been doing film programs and film series as part of my responsibilities here. I have always enjoyed that. I show films primarily to adult audiences, although I've been getting younger audience mm-hmm. members recently.
Sure.
I'm currently doing a film series called Hal Ashby in the 1970s. He was a director in the 1970s and on into the 80s. The seven films he directed in the 70s are all considered classics and mm-hmm. masterpieces now, and I've shown them chronologically, and I'm up to the last one in November, which I can talk about a little bit later. And I teach film on a part-time basis at UNC Charlotte.
Okay, cool.
I started coming here growing up in Charlotte. I was, I think my love of film was introduced by this library when it looked very, very different in the mm-hmm. 1960s, and they had thousands and thousands of 16-millimeter films. And my education on film was at this very library.
Right. Cool. So how long have you been teaching at UNCC?
I've been teaching at UNC about 25 years, and working here, I'm on my 31st year now.
All right. At the Great. Library. So you're definitely a film expert.
I am.
Yeah. And Holly, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and maybe a fun fact?
Sure. So I've been with the library for just over 10 years. I've spent all that time in teen services, so that's where my heart is. So that means supporting teens and being successful and also in helping them become their best selves. So that looks different for everyone. Obviously, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Mm-hmm. So we try to offer a wide variety of dynamic and innovative programs, resources, and services here at the library, which definitely keeps my life interesting. And I am originally from Buffalo, New York, so okay. This is definitely, it was a change for me when I came down here, but it's been a wonderful change. So
cool.
Good to be here.
Fellow New Yorker?
Yes.
Emily, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Good morning. So as education leader, I work with programming and partnerships throughout the library system and in the community. I work directly with the children's leader, the teen leader, and the adult services leader. as well as third grade reading initiatives and opportunity strategy.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Okay, so Sam and Angel, can you give us an overview of programs related to feature films at the library?
Angel?
Okay, so I guess I'll start off talking about a film series that I'm coordinating right now at Main Library. It's called The Vulnerable Black Man. We got started in August with Moonlight. In September, we showed 42, which is the story of Jackie Robinson. So this month in October, we're going to show Get Out, black horror movie. In November, we'll do The Pursuit of Happiness. In December, we're going to do Fruitvale Station. And then in January, we'll show a movie called Dope. And then February, we're still going to be announced for the films because we want to do something special for Black History Month.
Okay.
So the film series will conclude in February. And then after the films, a little special kind of feature to them is we have to have facilitated discussions after the films. So we usually bring in a guest facilitator. It's not usually me. And that person will ask the audience a couple questions and try to engage them in usually a 15 to 30 minute conversation after the film. A couple people we have coming up, Angie Chandler, she's the manager of educational initiatives and public programs at the Gantt Center. And then Alicia Bell, she's an organizer for Free Press that deals with media literacy. And so they will be two of our guests, facilitators to kind of direct the conversation and talk about different themes and some of the filmmaking in the films. So
okay.
That's coming up here at Main Library. And Sam also has a film series going on right now.
Thank you, Angel. I mentioned the Hal Ashby film series. What I do here at the library is I try to program series that have an ongoing theme or subject.
Sure.
So my experience has been that my audiences will grow larger throughout the series if there's a thematic idea to the series.
Mm-hmm.
And once I have them hooked, you know, in the first two or three films, they'll tend to come back. Over the past few years, I've done series focusing on a particular director or a particular movie star like Cary Grant or James Stewart. I've also focused on genres. I've had a series just on classic westerns or science fiction films or musicals. And audiences tend to gravitate toward these types of series that adhere to a theme. Also, I've done series, we have a series here at the library called From Page to Screen, where I've done films based on books. So as Angel mentioned, try to do sort of a post-film discussion. If the audience or audience members have read the book, you know, after we watch the movie, we discuss the comparisons and the contrasts from the book. And those go very well, too, and fit in well with the library.
Sure.
And then we also have one-offs, what I refer to as a one-off. We call it Now Showing, where it's just one major event. Something that's gone well over the last few years is there's a pianist here in town named Ethan Uslin, and we hit upon a formula where we'll show a silent film, a Charlie Chaplin or a Buster Keaton film, and Ethan is very talented and will accompany the film for 90 minutes or 2 hours, and those tend to draw very large audiences just because it's a unique experience, and I try to do 3 or 4 of those a year.
Okay, cool. Have to look out for that. So how do you all pick, when you're doing film series, how do you pick the subject of your film series?
So this is my second film series. My first film series focused on Black women. I'm a Black woman in film, and so I wanted to speak to that marginalized community. And then for this series, and that one was called Scenes of a Black Woman, and for this one, I did want to focus, I first started thinking about Black family life and stuff like that, and then it kind of came to me after brainstorming with some other coworkers, including Sam, that, you know, maybe my next step should be to focus on Black men, and what element in society would I want to explore in terms of, you know, speaking to Black men. So The Vulnerable Black Man kind of just came out of that, just brainstorming collaboration with other coworkers and just thinking about, you know, what could we bring out of this series. And And sometimes for me, it is just looking at kind of an overview of the films that we can screen at the library.
Sure.
We can't screen everything, but we can screen certain things from this database. And I kind of got this picture from some of the films that I saw in that database, and it kind of all came together. And, you know, just like Sam said, that, you know, picking out a theme or something like that will really kind of inform what you do. And as soon as we pretty much focused on the vulnerable black men, the picking the films were really easy from there.
Gotcha.
We think in terms of our audience and
yeah.
what our audience wants to see. Now, I have an audience that likes classic Hollywood films, and these films can be easily seen for the most part on Turner Classics. So you would think that they wouldn't be interested in taking the hike out to the library, but a lot of my audience members still enjoy watching movies in a theatrical environment with audiences.
Right.
It's easier to watch a comedy when you're laughing in the right places, or a horror film when you're gasping in the right places, and audiences just like to watch movies together. And that's been my experience.
Yeah.
We try to think in terms of what these audiences like. And sometimes, for example, the series I'm going to do in the winter, I had a lot of requests for classic comedies from the 1930s, old screwball type comedies. So that's exactly the series I'm going to do in the winter and spring, because, you know, I want to bring audiences in, and
mm-hmm.
it helps if they give you a recommendation.
Right.
I try to take it as much seriously as I can.
And I'm glad that Sam mentioned audience, too, because here at Maine Library, a lot of our patrons predominantly are black men, actually, and black women. And so that is one of the things that we're trying to figure out, how to get more people who visit us every day to come to our programs. And so that was one of the things I thought about before my first film series began. So that's a good point to make.
Yes, and speaking of audience, I remember one of my best movie experiences ever was when I saw Rocky II in the theaters when it came out. And I actually saw it, and we were visiting my grandmother in Brooklyn, so we stopped into a theater. You know, we were walking around, and we just happened to see it and stopped in the theater to watch it. And the theater was packed, and the audience was wild and, you know, cheering and all that, and it just made the movie experience so much better. In that kind of crowd, do you all find that your audience have usually seen the movies before, or is it a lot of times new to them?
My experience has been, for example, the films I'm showing now, and Hal Ashby isn't the most well-known director, but his films are well-known. A lot of my audience have seen his films
mm-hmm.
before, but they haven't seen them in literally 30 or 40 years,
oh.
and they didn't even know that Hal Ashby had directed all of these films. For example, I showed Harold and Maude, which is
yeah.
sort of a cult film, and a lot of the audience members had seen it, but it had been 25, 30 years. So they have seen the films invariably, but sometimes they just, you know, they want the opportunity to see them again, and
mm-hmm.
they're free.
Yeah.
It's air conditioned.
That's right.
They also like, I introduce the films and talk about the films,
yeah.
and I think the audience is like the educational component. Angel does this as well, but they want to know about the film,
yeah.
and they are really interested in our introductions and whatever factoids we can tell them about
mm-hmm.
it. And even better if there's time to do a short discussion after the film. The timing doesn't always lend itself,
right.
but if it does, at least 75% of the audience will stay,
yeah.
and they want to talk about it and they ask questions and. Has that been your experience?
It's about 50-50 whether they've seen the movie or not and whether they stay for the discussion or not. So
sure.
My previous film series, Scenes of a Black Woman, I tried to pick movies that had black women as the main character. That's really hard. And most of the movies I chose were very popular. So most of them. And so some people had already seen them but wanted to see them with an audience because maybe they caught them when they were out on video or DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed for the discussion because they wanted to know more about what other people thought about the movie. So with this film series, the first movie was Moonlight, which actually won Best Picture last year for 2017. And the other movie was 42. And even though, in my view, they were pretty popular movies,
yeah.
everyone who came to both of those films had not seen them before.
Oh, cool.
Even Moonlight, which kind of shocked me. But I think that my film series may be speaking more to the kind of theme and content of the films, kind of the vulnerable black man, having discussions around that vulnerability.
Sure.
Rather than maybe just the kind of let's go see a film at the library. And so I think that that's brought in people who may not even be film goers regularly. And so that's been an interesting kind of surprise for me. But about half stay for discussion, and about, I would say, half have seen the movies or not. I mean, just thinking back to the other series that I did, including this one.
Cool. Very good. Thank you. So, Holly, do you want to give an overview of programs related to feature films for teens?
Sure. So we also have similar programs that adults do. So From Page to Screen is a very popular program where our staff select titles that were books made into movies. Mm-hmm. And so that also offers us the opportunity to talk with teens about which was better, the film or the book, which offers some lively discussion. And we also have Now Showing, which is an opportunity to show films that maybe were not books,
right,
but have some good topics that teens like to discuss.
Yeah.
And when we're able to, we'll also bring in special presenters to talk about whatever those special topics were. We bring in members of the community or from local organizations, and that's really a good opportunity for us to tie in the theme or the topic of the movie and allow teens kind of a safe space to talk about some of those topics that maybe aren't talked about at home or at school.
Sure. Now, speaking of books that are made into movies, do you all have a favorite book that's been turned into a movie? Well, while you guys are thinking...
Well, I had a series recently that I collaborated with the English department at UNC Charlotte. It just ended recently. It was called The Child in Southern Literature and Film, Exploring the Diversity of Southern Childhood. And I selected about a half dozen films that were based, that had as its hero or anti-hero a child or teenager or adolescent. And each of the films took place in different sections of the South, North Carolina, Mississippi, Tennessee. And they were all based on books. One of them was To Kill a Mockingbird, which never fails to bring in solid audiences, although most people have seen the film.
Right.
And most people consider that one of the most successful adaptations of a novel, although there are big differences between the book and the movie, but that's a great adaptation. Can you think of any?
I was going to say, I actually thought of a teen book. When I was a teen, I was obsessed with the book, The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I'm like losing the author's name of the book, but he also made the movie. Mm-hmm. He got to write and direct the movie version. And I felt like that was one of the better adaptations of a book that I had ever seen, because I do think that, you know, I don't know if it's the translation from book to screen, and maybe Sam can talk to that a little bit, but I do feel like sometimes things get lost in translation or get left out between the book and the film. But this was one of those things where, one of those movies in the book where I read the book again before the movie came out. I saw the movie, loved the movie, read the book again after I saw the movie, and I still am just, I'm in love with both of those.
Right. Okay. Great.
So the movie I'm most excited about is The Hate U Give, which is a book by Angie Thomas, which is also going to be the library's community read in March 2019. And we are really excited about that. And just based off of the trailer, it looks like it is very much in line with the book. And it's going to be a very emotional, I think, and powerful movie, and is really going to bring Angie Thomas's work to life. And I think it will also help everyone get really excited about the community read and being a part of that this March.
Cool. Yeah, well, I've recently joined AMC's A-List, so we can see three movies a week, you know, for $20 a month. So, you know, we're trying to use that. And I have seen a lot of previews for The Hate U Give, and they look pretty good. And I will say myself, two of my favorite film adaptations are Stephen King books, which some of them are really not that great, but some of them are really awesome. And one is Shawshank Redemption, which is, you know, based on Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption from the book.
Right.
It's actually four novellas. And then the other one is also from the exact same book, which is Stand By Me, which is based on the body in that book. And they do really, I mean, they almost follow the book exactly to the letter. And I think they're able to do that because those books are shorter.
Right.
You know, they're novellas instead of full-blown novels. So I think they can really do a good job with the details in those books. But thank you all for that.
Did you like the film version of It?
The recent one. Yeah. Actually, it was pretty good. And that's going to be a two-parter. Because,
right.
Yeah, because without giving away too much, in the book they talk about the young edition of the mm-hmm. cast and the older adult edition. So the first one dealt with the younger, when they were younger. So the next one will be when they're older. Should be cool.
The film adaptations of Stephen King are a good example. My experience has been that when somebody or myself really, mm-hmm. really feel strongly about a book and loves a book deeply, and then the film version comes out,
yeah.
we usually set ourselves up to be disappointed because we have a certain idea of how that film that book should be adapted.
Right.
And rarely, in my experience, have I been happy or pleased with the film versions of books I really love. Whereas I think better film versions are when you take a book and the director does his own version of it,
right.
or experience. The Shining would be a great example,
yeah.
where there's still to this day there's a lot of controversy that the Stanley Kubrick film is very different from the Stephen King novel.
Right.
But I think if you take the film by itself, it's a great movie. It's just
yeah.
not a great adaptation of the book.
Right.
So you can go various ways,
yeah.
I believe.
I'd like to recommend plays. Some plays that are made into movies are usually on the better side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to highlight Moonlight again. Moonlight
That's
was
right.
a play. And the playwright was actually a co-writer for the film as well. And if anybody's interested in, you know, how can I see if plays have been made into movies, one of the better ways in general to look at plays and books is to look at any of the Oscar-nominated films that were adapted screenplays. So usually adapted screenplays weren't written. They had source material, so whether it was a play or book or something.
Okay.
So I think that's a great place to start, and we do have some plays in the library system to check out if you're interested. So I definitely would say that. And one of my favorites there is The Importance of Being Earnest. It is a wonderful play, and it is a great movie as well.
Okay.
Well, I agree with that. I love that movie.
That movie is so good.
I have not seen that.
Which movie version are you talking about? The one from the 1950s or the recent one with
the recent
Rupert
one,
Everett?
Like 2002
or,
maybe?
Right.
Yeah. Reese Willis film.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the new one.
Yeah, it's really good. It's one of probably my favorite films of that like genre.
I did a series a few years ago at Imaginon where I selected seven or eight Shakespeare plays,
mm-hmm.
and showed the film versions based on the Shakespeare plays, and that's an example where the film can be radically different from the play. Some
right.
of these films are done in modern dress, or I showed, I think, As You Like It, done as a samurai film, and audiences really enjoy that, too.
Right. And, of course, Romeo and Juliet has been done numerous times.
Right.
With West Side Story.
Exactly.
And the one with Leonardo DiCaprio, where it was actually
Romeo
called
plus
Romeo.
Juliet, yes.
Mm-hmm.
What was the
I think, wasn't
the
it called
title?
Romeo plus Juliet?
Yeah.
The one with Claire Danes?
Yeah. And it
yes.
was a musical. Well, musically...
Right.
Based. I don't know if they officially called it a musical, but yeah.
But it was a modern setting, but wasn't the dialogue exactly the same as the play?
I believe
it was.
Pretty
close,
yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
close. Mm-hmm. And instead of swords, they used guns. So that was interesting as a teen myself to see that.
Right. All right, cool. Okay, so is there anything else you guys want to add about movies?
Jeff, you asked me about programs that have families in mind as audiences. Angel and I are currently working on a partnership with Charlotte Litt for Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, where there is going to be sometime close to Christmas time. I wish I can give you, do you know the exact date on that?
I don't think we have a date yet.
There's going to be an entire reading of the book from beginning to end, in which about 30 people are going to take part. I'm going to show, I think, the 1951 film version with Alistair Sim of Christmas Carol, and I believe there are other
yeah.
Events that are connected to A Christmas Carol. that are tied in with that.
Yeah, there's going to be some carolers there before the reading happens, and we're going to try to have some refreshments that are kind of warm, you know, so hot chocolate, maybe some apple cider, and stuff like that. And Sam is showing the film version at Maine. Imagine I will have the reading, and the reading will consist of actors, librarians, so come see your favorite librarians. And then they're also going to have some local writers. So Charlotte Lit is going to bring in some local writers and authors from the community to be a part of that kind of, I think, almost 30 people who are going to be doing the reading. So check that out. It'll probably be on our website at some point, but A Christmas Carol sometime in December for both that special feature and for the Sam's screening of the film.
Okay, so are you all noticing then a trend towards families coming to see movies? Especially, like, I know traditionally it's usually younger children and their parents coming. Are you noticing any older children coming with their families to movies?
To my own film series, they're not really geared toward children. I'm trying to make them open to teenagers and people in their 20s. But for the most part, my audiences are trend toward older adults.
Right.
And this is the audience that wants to see the more classic Hollywood films.
Right.
And so I don't really have families, per se, that come to mind, my films.
I feel like for my film series, I get a good mix of kind of new adult to probably about, 40s or so.
Sure.
I don't really get a lot of older adults that go to Sam's films. But when I previously worked at West Boulevard, they would show some family films that would bring in both parents and teens, and sometimes the younger kids, but also, and it usually were family films that were either nostalgic to the parent or maybe even the teen, and so the whole family could enjoy it together somehow. So.
Okay. Emily, can you give us an overview of programs related to feature films for children?
Absolutely. So in Children's Services, we have From Page to Screen. We may show a Harry Potter movie, or we may show Peter Pan or Pinocchio that is based on the original children's book. We also have plenty of books available on that topic that we show available for checkout. It's a great opportunity as well for the audience to compare and contrast the book with the movie and answer questions. And we love to show movies on teacher work days or after school in the summer, just as another fun way to connect to literature for children.
Okay, cool. So, Emily, have you watched all or read all the Harry Potter movies and books?
That's a great question. So I've read most of the Harry Potter books, and I've seen a couple of the movies. And so, yes, I guess I would be a Harry Potter fan.
Yes. So where did you stop at with the movies?
Let's see. I think I've just seen the first two movies,
actually.
So I need to catch up on those.
You do. You do. Now, there is a program. I don't know if you ever heard of this. It's called How It Should Have Ended on the Internet. It's from the Stars Network. And what they do is they do short cartoons of all these movies like Harry Potter. You know, they do Star Wars, all the Marvel and DC comic movies, all those kind of movies, anything related to adventure and, you know, for kids movies mostly, or, you know, movies like Harry Potter. And they shorten them and they make them really funny. Like they put in their own, you know, how it should have ended. So they put in their own crazy endings. And it's really good if you ever get a chance to catch that on the internet. So as far as movies go, do you find or have you found in the past that the kids like the book better or the movie better? Or do the most of them prefer to read a book as opposed to go to the movie? Or is it vice versa?
That's a good question. I think it's probably split between the two. I guess I'm a little biased. I recommend reading the book first and then comparing it to the movie. But I'm sure there are a lot of children out there that see the movie first, but hopefully that gets them excited about the book. So I'd say it's split half and half, but
gotcha.
It's always fun to ask them that question.
And that is probably the case with teens and adults too. I know myself, I always like to read the book first and then watch the movies. But there's a few movies where there's a lot of movies where the movie's as good as the book, but usually you get a lot more detail out of the book, I would say.
That's absolutely true. You brought up a really good, important point that, yes, even in high school, you're going to critique a movie versus a book, or maybe even in college. So
right.
It's a great skill to learn early, and I think that's a great conversation to start with children early. Like, how was it as detailed or less detailed, or how is the scene different than what you had in your mind?
Right. Tie the movie back to the book learning, right?
That's right.
All right. So thank you guys so much for all this information about movies. Okay, Holly, will you tell us, how do we find out where and when these programs take place?
Right, so you can go to our website, which is cmlibrary.org, and we have a calendar there that you can click on. There's an icon. You can also go to the direct link, which is cmlibrary.org/calendar. And the calendar is really interactive, so you can do multiple searches. So if you're looking specifically for teen events or art events, you can search for that. Or maybe you're looking for a specific location, so you're able to limit your search results on that calendar. But you can also go to your local library. You can call your local library. A lot of libraries will have their programming calendars available at the branch, so you can see what's available. And yeah, I think it's really accessible, really easy to find out what's going on. So be sure to reach out and look for that.
Okay, great. Okay, so we've talked about programs. Now we're going to talk about resources available that you can find on the library's website or through the library's catalog. Do you want to tell us about what resources are available for the arts?
Well, I'll definitely say for films, a couple of our resources that are really great would be Overdrive. So a lot of people use Overdrive for ebooks and audiobooks, which is great and wonderful. But they also have a really great film collection on there that you can check out. The other great resources we have is Hoopla, Hoopla Digital, and there's a really great collection of films on there too. Both Overdrive and Hoopla, they have films that you would probably see on Netflix or Hulu or some of your paid streaming services. So definitely check them out there before deciding whether you want to pay or not for it, or like Amazon. So those are the two that I would highlight, but we also have some other great resources. Films on Demand is one of that we have, mostly documentaries and educational. And then we have the PBS Video Collection, which is also really great if you're one of those people where you're like, I saw this Ken Burns documentary like 3 years ago. I can't find it on the PBS website. Where can I get it? Because we do have pretty much their archive of some of their different programs and films that they've created. So those are the four that I really like and go to a lot.
Those are all great. Hoopla has an amazing collection of films in different genres, foreign films, documentaries. And I've noticed in the last few months that they get them almost as quickly as HBO and Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And Overdrive, as Angel mentioned, is also an excellent source. For feature films, the other two she mentioned, the PBS Video is the way to go for documentaries and instructional videos. Okay. So those are four great online sites where you can stream films simply with a library card.
So all of the resources that Angel had mentioned obviously also have materials for teens as well. So those are all going to be great resources for teens to use. They have materials for all ages, and so that would be definitely appropriate for teens. And then, of course, to access these resources, you can also get to that from our website, so cmlibrary.org/resources. There's also a little icon that you can click on. And when you're in the resources page, again, there's some way for you to limit your searches to find what you're looking for. So if you wanted to search categories or tags, you can do that on the drop-down menu, and that will give you resources that maybe you're looking for. Resources that apply to teens or that apply to the arts, and you can do that through our search tags on the page as well.
Great. Makes it easy.
We mentioned a lot of great online resources, but we also have a lot, thousands and thousands of DVDs in the library system that you can access through our online catalog, and they're purchased with all our audiences in mind, children, teens, adults. A lot of the films that I show to my audiences, we don't previously have in the collection, but once we show them, once they're purchased for the collection, very soon after they're entered into the collection. So if my audience miss the film, you know, they can always check them out.
Right.
So we have a huge collection of DVDs, and I don't think most of our patrons even know about them. They're always surprised to see the number of DVDs we have.
Yeah. Angel, can you tell us how, now if you're in the catalog, how do you find specific, is there a way to find specific types of materials?
Oh, yeah. So if you're kind of like me and you're, you know, yes, you're looking for a book or anything, you can just type in a general keyword or the author. But under our search box, there's an advanced search button there.
Mm-hmm.
And from that page, you can select different things on there. And one of the best things you can do on there is click on the format. So if you just want a DVDs on a certain topic, or you know there's a particular actor you're looking for, and again you just want to select DVDs for that, you can do that there. But from there, I mean, even if you're looking at CDs, audiobooks, if you are looking for things that we may have in our online digital collection, so if you are looking for a movie and you may only want it on Overdrive or Hoopla, you can limit it from that page mm-hmm. as well. So make sure you check out the format section on the advanced search page.
All right. Very good. Great. Okay, so does anybody else have anything they would like to add about programs or resources?
I think one of the important things to remember is that we at the library, we're here to serve the public, to serve you guys. So if there's an idea or there's something that you would like to explore in the library, or you would like to see a special presentation or a special presenter come out and do,
mm-hmm.
definitely let us know. One of the things that inspired me to do a second film series were the audience that came to the first film series. They were like, well, what's next? What are you going to do next? I'd like to see this film, or I'd like to see a discussion about this topic. And so we always want feedback. We always want you guys to come to us and tell us what you would like to see and hear in the library. And that goes for our programs and our resources. Is there something you see? Let us know. And our books, we have a suggest for purchase option for anybody who would like to suggest that we purchase any materials, including our books. So definitely reach out to us and let us know what you want. That's how we can better serve, you know, more people like you.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate this opportunity. And please come to the library and check in with staff at any of our locations or our outreach staff. We'd be glad to help you as best we can, and we look forward to meeting you. I'd love to have someone come in and say they heard about us online from this podcast, and just let us know how we can help. We're here for you.
All right. Thank you so much, Emily. All right. Well, I want to thank our guest speakers for coming. Emily Nanny, Holly Summers, Sam Shapiro, and Angel Truesdale. And thank you all, audience, for joining us for Meet Me at the Library. We hope you've enjoyed this program. Look for upcoming episodes. To see or hear more from the Digital Branch, please visit digitalbranch.cmlibrary.org. The Charlotte Mecklenburg Library website is www.cmlibrary.org. So when you go there, check out our calendar and our resources and our catalog. And you can find the library on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram, hashtag CMLibrary or at CMLibrary. Thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.